You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another edition of Tunnel Vision, a show brought to you by USCFootball.com. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham. We got Shotgun Spratling and Chris Trevino joining in a second. I just want to let everyone know what we're doing here at Tunnel Vision. We're starting fall camp. USC fall camp started on Friday. They had a media day on Thursday, so we're going to give you some recap of what we heard from the players and coaches at media day and then talk about day one of fall camp. We'll have a couple practices a week that we'll be able to observe, and we'll bring you observations from it, you know, at the shows at the end of every week. We'll keep doing our podcasts and all that kind of stuff. But make sure you check out USCFootball.com. Tons and tons of content going up there. And right now, till tomorrow, so if you're watching this live on Sunday, on Twitter, on YouTube, or on Facebook, if you're watching it live, until tomorrow night, until Monday night, we are going to have a 50% off sale, VIP membership. It's great. It's a great deal. Get in there. When that's done, you can get a Paramount Plus membership along with it as well. But get all the inside scoop of what's going on with this USC football team. Our subscriptions are all-time high. The interest in the program is an all-time high. So make sure you jump in there. Don't miss the deal. 50% off. You can't beat that. All right. Well, let me bring in my co-host. We got Shotgun Spratling. We got perfect timing for Chris Trevino.
Look, it's live, my man. Things happen. I'm sorry. I couldn't hold it. I waited until your spiel was over. I'm sorry.
That's perfect. Yeah, perfect timing. We got Shotgun Spratling. We got Chris Trevino. All in studio. Shotgun's here on the West Coast because he had to go to a wedding. So we'll welcome those guys in. I did this last time, Chris. I welcomed Shotgun in first, and it was like a 10-minute thing. So I'm going to say hello to you first. How are you doing, sir?
Chris. Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say. I'm doing good. You know, I'm feeling glad my fellow Helium boy, I'm going to reach over and break the fourth wall because we are right next to each other. He's here. He's back in the studio. Feels good. Feels good to have him back.
It's nice. It's good to have Shoddy back. Shoddy, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm so excited about football that, you know, getting started, I went for the old, you know, the classic strength coach headbutting someone with a helmet on, and it didn't go very well. So that's why the hat's forward today instead of backwards, because we're going to need some reconstruction on the forehead a little bit here.
Sorry, man. That's Chris. I feel bad for you, Chris, because like a couple weeks ago when I was capping Catalina, I got a face plant, shiner, cut my head. Shotgun's got a head cut now.
He comes in like this. I might not leave my house for the next couple months. I can't risk it.
And I could see, I tried to zoom in on you a little before the camera, and I'm zoomed in on you too much. I might have to fix that during a little bit later on. So you're a little zoomed in, but my bad on that one.
Who, me?
Yeah. You're pretty, we got a tight shot on you.
Oh, no.
So it's a good thing you have like the pretty beautiful face
this
there.
This ugly mug.
Not busted up or anything.
Should I just lean back?
You can lean back a little.
Okay,
that's
here we
fine.
Go.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. That's
there
nice.
There we go. I'm just going
to
lean back.
I think someone in the chat was saying, where we got? Let's see. Oh, yeah. SC Neal. Thank you, SC Neal, for reminding everyone. Hey, smash that like button. Subscribe. So if you're watching live on YouTube, it's youtube.com/InsideTroy. The site that our channel over there has been growing and growing. We put up a ton of video. We still got more video from USC Media Day. Chris and I just put up a couple of highlight packages from USC's first practice. We can, you know, film the beginning when they do stretching and position drills. So we're doing that, and make sure you go check that out. But tons of videos going up over there. So please subscribe. It'll notify you when we go live, and we appreciate that. You know, we did a live incident analysis, which was a lot of fun from Media Day and stuff. So we had a good time with that. If you're watching on Facebook, please subscribe. If you're on the Facebook, you're watching us live, you can, there's a little notification there to let you know. You can subscribe into the notifications or opt into those. So when we do go live, you'll know that. And on Twitter, we'll tweet it out too. So if you're watching on Twitter, thank you for doing all of that. We will bring up your questions and comments a little bit later on the show. and you know, pull those up and put them on the screen so we can answer your questions or talk about any topics that you would like to talk about. We will get to live calls probably in the next couple of weeks. Need to kind of figure out staffing wise. We're going to get someone in here to help us out with production of the show. We had a couple of people reach out. It's not like a full-time position or something. Someone that's going to help out with a site. We'll have them come in and help us produce the show and be able to kind of bring you all of that from there. So that's my spiel of what's going on. But yeah, like the broadcast wherever you are and subscribe. We appreciate that. But Media Day, it was pretty cool. First time you've done something like that. We've never had like a USC Media Day before. And this is something that Lincoln Riley gets brought up. Couple dozen players were there in attendance, and they came out in seven groups, each of our half an hour at a time, every assistant coach, and you know, like 25 players, something like that total, you know, between three and seven in each group. And we got to sit down at tables with them and just kind of interview them, talk to them and stuff. And I thought it was a really nice, you know, kind of atmosphere there to get a, you know, get to know these guys a little bit better. You know, the players were in their jerseys. You know, coaches in their polos and stuff. And, you know, I thought it was good. They were pretty relaxed. You could bop around to different tables and talk to different people. And then every half an hour, they'd swap them out, put the name tags out, you know, the little placards out and move on there. But Shotgun, you were out here for that. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on what you saw from Media Day.
Yeah, I thought it was a great addition to the availability that USC has. You know, we've seen the last couple of cycles with new coaching hires. They've done, you know, some coaching media days, basically having all the coaches available to talk to the media for the first time. I thought it was great to be able to talk to them, and especially with so many new players on the team. And we're always trying to build that relationship to kind of find out about these guys a little bit more, besides just the exact on the field stuff, and be able to kind of reference back to other points, you know, as the season goes along. Hey, you want to do this, you know, where you feel like you are, all those type things. You know, maybe the only complaint I have about it would be maybe like a week earlier if possible, but I know that's hard because the players are all officially on campus. You know, they have some free time before camp, but you know, just so we could get more content out there before the first day of camp, because there's so many great stories that came up when you get to sit down and talk with people for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes for some guys. You know, and just seeing it, it's always one of my favorite things is seeing the players grow. Not just as players on the field, but as people. And one of my favorite things from Media Day was talking with Tuli Tuipulotu for 20 minutes. He has maybe talked to the media 20 minutes so far in his career, and that includes his high school, just because it's very short answers and very short interviews. But he, you know, he told me he's been taking a public speaking class, and maybe that's because he's on all these watch lists and, you know, obviously getting a lot of hype going into the season. But just seeing him grow as a person, that's really cool to me. And we've seen it from other players in the past, because USC is one of the few places where players are allowed to speak to the media and on a regular basis. So sometimes, you know, you get players in the NFL, the reporters always tell us they love USC players because they're prepped, they know how to speak to the media, whereas some other schools, they don't get that opportunity, and sometimes it can be a struggle to kind of get information out of them. But you know, I thought that was really cool. That was one of my big takeaways from that day, just seeing someone as a person grow a little bit, and how Tuli Tuipulotu could hold a conversation. And this was even while he was watching the Dodgers game. He had the Dodgers game pulled up on his phone. He didn't want to miss the end, you know, the rivalry series against the Giants, but he was still holding court with a couple of different reporters there. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's funny. I did an event with Sean Cody and John Jackson last night, and they were kind of giving their thoughts on the team. And I had mentioned Tuipulotu as, you know, breakout star, potential star. And Sean Cody, who knows defensive linemen, he agreed, you know, he's going to be someone. And if you get to hear a little bit more from him, he wasn't the biggest talker, like Shotgun was saying, I think it'll be good. But I think he's someone that could definitely be a leader on the squad. I mostly talked to coaches, and I had a good time, you know, Roy Manning and Dennis Simmons and Alex Grinch and a bunch of guys. It was a lot of fun, you know, kind of chatting with those guys. You know, Josh Henson, we put a bunch of those videos up, and someone asked in the chat, like, we haven't got all the videos up yet. I think Chris probably put all his up. I have a bunch more that I need to put up there, so I'll still work on putting those guys up. But Chris, any highlights from Media Day that kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, I mean, you were mainly on coaches. I know Shotgun was bopping around. I would randomly find myself with more so the transfers than anything. You know, I got to talk to Terrell Bynum, Travis Dye, you know, who was here in the spring. Bynum was here in the spring. But I also got to talk to two of the big new name guys that we hadn't talked to yet. that being, you know, Ohio State safety transfer Bryson Shaw, and obviously the big one, Pittsburgh transfer Biletnikoff, winner, first team All-American, all-around Maryland legend, Jordan Addison, was obviously the big one everyone wanted to talk to. There was a line of people. Well, the table was full that he was going to sit at, and they were like, no, he's not coming in yet. He's got to do radio. Then he's got to do TV, so you guys can go move around. But some people stayed because they wanted to lock down their spot to be at the Jordan Addison interview table. And, you know, I'd mentioned this before, but I think it was nice to see his personality come out a little bit, because we kind of chatted with him a little bit just casually at the QB Clarkson retreat. He was there with Caleb Williams and Mario Williams. You know, this was like right after his official transfer had taken place. And so there was a lot of still, you know, that hate floating around on social media and a lot of things being said about him. So I think he was a little bit more gun-shy towards the media at that point out there during the spring or summer, whenever that happened. But on Friday, you got to see his personality come out a little bit. You know, someone would ask him how he's like in L.A. You know, he'd shoot a smile and be like, yeah, I'm loving it out here. How are you liking it, L.A.? What do you like to do out here? So he was kind of giving that some of that personality, which obviously is a nice thing to do when you're in an L.A. media market. And, you know, it was nice to see him rocking that number three. I told Ryan on the first day of practice, he's not, you know, obviously like 6'6" or anything like that. He's, you know, he's barely 6 foot. He doesn't really stand out like that physically until you put the pads on and start making plays. But I realize, you know, there's a number three jersey walking out. Oh, wait, that's Jordan Addison. Because you don't see that number three jersey. You know, that's not a number that's been worn on the practice field. And, you know, that it was nice to see that number three out. So that was something that really stood out to me. Yeah. Again, to talk to him and Bryson Shaw.
I feel like, you know, it was really a good opportunity for Jordan Addison to kind of show, you know, his name was dragged through the mud. That, you know, his old former coach, Pat Narduzzi at Pitt, had some, you know, non-flattering things to say about that whole process. And it's so weird when you just look at it on the surface. Like, you know, he's a kid that lost his quarterback, you know, that got drafted by the Steelers. His position coach, his offensive coordinator, Lincoln Riley becomes this hot thing on the West Coast, and you get to play with Caleb Williams. And there's some obvious reasons why you would come move out from Pittsburgh to L.A. and join the Trojans team. And, you know, it wasn't USC. The ironic part is USC is not someone that has all their ducks in a row when it comes to collectives and money being paid out and stuff. So that's the weird part. And I feel like, you know, there were some, you know, arrows and slings, you know, thrown at him. And I feel like this was a chance for him to kind of speak about it. Lincoln Riley, you know, talked about it a little bit at Pac-12 Media Day, and then him, you know, Jordan Addison getting a chance to sort of, you know, give his piece, which I thought was great. And then we got to see him on Friday out there catching passes and stuff. And I think it can be more about football and stuff for him. But there was kind of a long wait between when we heard about Jordan Addison coming to USC and then and now. But I don't know. What did you think about the whole thing, Shotgun?
I mean, I thought it was interesting listening to all the other players. I haven't got the chance actually to listen to Jordan Addison's interview yet. But that actually gave me, I thought it was fun because he came in late. Everyone swarmed over there. I got some one-on-one time with some players, and I thought that was really interesting, kind of hearing some, you know, off-the-cuff stories and whatnot from last year's. And, you know, I was talking with Malcolm Epps and Zach Hansen, the tight ends coach, said he's running almost 21 miles an hour now. So I went and asked him about that, and he said, yeah, I'm getting really close. He said, I get really mad now when I don't when I don't get 20 miles an hour, where used to be, you know, previously, if you got to 20 miles an hour, you thought it was an accomplishment. And I thought that was a, you know, just a mind, you know, an eye-opening, you know, nugget of what the strength and conditioning, how it is actually visibly being seen for this team. So I thought that was a nugget that I didn't get a chance to put in the war room either. I left the media day and went straight to wedding activities for this weekend. So, you know, but I thought it was interesting just getting some of those nuggets like that. You know, when you get a chance to sit down with people for a little bit longer than, you know, a 3-minute interview, a 5-minute interview at the end of a practice, you can find out a little bit more about them. And, you know, just hearing about some of the individual players that maybe haven't been brought up. Sierra Wright's name came up a couple of times. Mekhi Blackmon said he has really matured from the spring, said he's the guy that's made the biggest jump for him. And then, you know, obviously I talked to him and Jalen Smith about you know, about their cornerback, you know, their fellow defensive back, and said, "What's it like having a teammate on TV?" And they both were just kind of blown away by, you know, what he's doing as far as being on an actual television show and not just a one-off thing in a movie, and how they're seeing him on commercials and all that. So it's kind of interesting. They both lit up when talking about Sierra Wright and the big jump that he's made on the field, but also, you know, how he's maturing away from the field as well, and that includes with his acting career.
Yeah. Chris, we have to address something before we get into day one of fall camp.
Oh, no.
I have a comment that came up here from Eddie.
Okay.
Question. And I don't think the emojis come up on the screen for some reason, but those are a little like emergency, you know, like siren emojis. Should Chris go to jail for not listing Solo as a starter at defensive end? Are you going to defend yourself,
I'm
Chris?
At the mercy of the court. I don't. I can't describe my own punishment. This goes to you two to describe if I should go to jail for not having Solo Tuliapupu as the starting defensive end.
Yeah, we didn't get to hear from him at Media Day, but I did put in a request to talk to him this week. So we're going to get to talk to defensive players on Wednesday. So hopefully we'll get to hear from him. Chris, I know you put up a highlight video on our YouTube channel. Did you have any Solo shots in there?
I did. There's some Solo shots in there. So very quick and very violent on the bag. Probably the quickest pop. So you can go watch that for yourself.
Check it out. I also put up a highlight video or like, I used to call them sights and sounds, but because they're playing music in the background, we can't really play the track, you know,
the sound part,
the natural sound, because there's music and then YouTube flags you for being you know, copyright infringement. So I put some other underlining music underneath Gerard Martinez produced music underneath the highlights in there. But I can play some of the highlights that I put up there. I'll show it on the screen and I'll throw it to Chris to let him talk about some of his observations from day one of USC fall camp. And I'll play this video for you guys. You don't have to comment on the video, Chris. Just you're just talking like what some of the stuff you saw.
That's such an open and vague question, Ryan. I like specific questions.
Okay. What impressed you? Were watching the defense more, so tell me about what you saw on the defensive side. But let's start with the defensive line, because
they looked a little bit bigger, to be honest with you, Ryan. I know, like, someone that jumped out to me was Tyrone Tilleni. Like, I was looking at it and I was like, that guy looks bigger, and I was like, oh wait, that's Tyrone. And so, but the real big star of the defensive line for me was the freshman, true freshman, Devin Tompkins, who I wrote about this in my my ghost notes, but Devin Tompkins, who is a 6'6", I believe he was around 230 when he signed out of NorCal, was a basketball player. For those of you who don't know his story, was a basketball player, and he didn't play high school football until his senior year. And then once he got on the field, you know, it was boom, boom, boom. I think after his first game, his first Friday Night Lights in high school, I think he picked up like six offers right after that. USC was one of them. He committed to USC under the previous staff. I believe he committed to Dante Williams as the interim coach, but he was one of the few commits in the prior staff that Lincoln Riley decided to keep within this 2022 class. And, you know, he signed as an edge player. He was rated as an edge player. So, you know, I think coming in, I expected him to play in that rush end spot. But he was walking with the D-line, and he looked impressively big. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like when those pads come on. You obviously have to see what it looks like for him. He is a raw prospect. Like I said, only one season of high school football to his name. So he has some development to do, really raw. But he was big. He did not look 230. He looked like he was pushing 250, and he looked built. He did not look like a basketball player. You know, it looked like he didn't shed. You know, when basketball players and football players, when they go back and forth, they have a hard time keeping on that weight because they're trimming down for basketball season. You don't want to be big and bulky when you're on the hardware. You need to be, you know, quick and fast. You got all that cardio. You're burning all those calories. And he looked like he had put all that weight on. And so I don't know what he looked like because I didn't get to see him play in high school. But there's a chance, you know, Benny Wiley stacked him with some weight. And he looked really good. And I'm excited to see what he looks like. He reminded me of, not in terms of skill, but Tuli Tuipulotu, if you remember when he came on campus as a freshman, he looked like a college football player already. And Devin Tompkins obviously has a body type similar to that, and he looks physically ready. Obviously, we need to see what it looks like in terms of, you know, that football IQ, you know, the developmental stuff, seeing what it looks like in pads, you know, getting the defense down, all that kind of thing. He's got to learn some football stuff, but he looks physically impressive, and that was kind of the one of the things that stood out to me watching that group.
Cool. Thanks for that. That was perfect timing. That's right. It's the video.
I know my video. I know my video. I memorized it.
That was like a 3-minute deal.
From watching this video, because again, this is the first time I've gotten a chance to see it because I have basically not had my computer all weekend. But you know, one of the things that stand out is the snappiness of how things are going between reps, how quickly guys are getting up to the line, how, you know, efficient they're going about the entire practice, it looks like. And which is interesting because that first practice was, what, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, it was long.
So if they cover, you know, if they kept that same pace throughout, just think of all the work they're actually getting in that 2.5 hours. You know, that's really impressive to me. It didn't, you know, and maybe this is Brian's editing, but, you know, you're not seeing any guys walking around. You're not seeing, you know, any time between reps, you know, waiting on someone or some, you know, waiting on a quarterback to get a ball. All that stuff seemed very snappy. Those small details. You know those small details we always talked about the last half decade, the last decade?
Yeah.
You know, that USC just didn't always have, not, you know, figured out. That's something that catches my eye in this one little small video clip.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. And we have to edit it kind of tight because we only get to put up, you know, 3 minutes. But, I think one of the things I noticed from just, you know, if you see there was a couple defensive back drills, you'd see it like Zamarian Gordon making a play. You see Kalen Bullock. Look at around the player that's doing the drill. So it would be like they'd run a route or whatever, and then the coach would throw a pass. They have to intercept it. There's a lot of people in line in the corner line. There's a lot more people in the safety line. There's a lot more people. There's more people when you look at the linebackers, the defensive line. It's a much deeper group, and for each unit than we saw in the spring. I think across the board, it's just We didn't really get to see the offense kind of break out into their positions. They were kind of doing throw-in lines where everybody's in line. So you don't, you know, but all the groups that we're seeing out there, it just looked a lot deeper to me. I don't know if you noticed the same thing, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. It looked just so much deeper across the defensive side of the ball. I know Brian Odom, when I was in his, you know, media event or media table, you know, he was very excited about them having depth now. Obviously, they added Eric Gentry, Carson Tabarucci. He'll be back soon. He's still limited. They'll get him in there, and they just have so much more to work with now. Nick Figueroa, he mentioned that they're deeper now. They're much more deeper, and, you know, they're really excited about that, just having that depth, because injuries happen, and if you're not deep, you know, that could give you real issues throughout the season, as we've seen with USC teams in the past. So just seeing all that depth, and I think the most important one was one linebacker, yes, but two, the cornerbacks, because the cornerbacks got really, really low at the end of spring. You had Mekhi Blackmon out, and now you get him back. He's healthy. You had Damani Jackson, Josh Jackson, both coming off their injuries.
Yeah.
Pretty limited for the most part, so they weren't really full participants, couldn't do team stuff. They're back. They're looking good. And then obviously you added Jacoby Covington, the Washington transfer. So that room has completely been bolstered after this summer. So everyone is looking pretty healthy, and everyone's looking, you know, ready to compete for some jobs out there on the defense.
Yeah, Bryson Shaw looks like he's wearing – some of the numbers are different. So, like, Bryson Shaw is wearing 27. Kalen Bullock switched to 7. He looks like he's filled out more to me, Chris. But Bryson Shaw, if you look in that video, he had a one-handed interception in that one in one of the drills. So he looked pretty good. But it's fun to see some of the guys. I thought Michael Jackson looked, like, significantly bigger. Chris is like, hey, he's always been pretty jacked. But to me, he looked pretty big. I don't know. You were going to say something, Shoddy?
You mentioned Mekhi Blackmon, and it triggered something that he said, you know, talking about, hey, he transfers in, learning everybody's name, all this. He said it was basically, I had to learn a ton of new guys' name in the summer, and that talks to the depth that they were able to add from after the spring. And some of it's walk-ons, but just, you know, more bodies, more. And you look at the, you know, you mentioned a couple of different positions, but you look at the quarterback room. And it's not, you're not bringing in some other big-name quarterback. But now they have 5 guys in there that are, you know, quality guys. You have 2 quality walk-ons instead of, you know, guys that are just out there to try to throw the ball. But these guys can throw the ball legit.
Guys that Lincoln went after to get.
That, to bring in as walk-ons. Whereas before you had Brett Aoki, you had Isaac Ward, you know, not to, you know, look down upon those guys or anything. But Brett Aoki was a walk-on defensive back, turn to walk on wide receiver to, you know, walk on quarterback. He's like 5'9", not the arm strength necessarily that you're looking for your scout team, because that's what those guys end up doing. So adding Jake Jensen as an extra scholarship piece as a third string guy, and then adding those two other guys, one, you're taking throws off of Caleb Williams and Miller Moss that they have to make during practice, but also that, you know, maybe they're a walk-on because their abilities aren't as great as Caleb Williams and Miller Moss, but maybe they also are very intelligent in the film room. You never know what those guys can provide there. And so just bringing in guys that are true preferred walk-ons that Lincoln Riley went out and sought, now you have five quarterbacks in that room, and even though two of them are walk-ons, you feel a little bit more comfortable what they're capable of giving you for your scout team and giving you on the practice field every day. So that's another position group that really grew during the offseason.
Yeah. We had a question from YouTube from Gary. Any impressions on how Eric Gentry looked? I did have one clip of Eric Gentry in there when it was, I think, one of the sled drills or something. He looks tall. He looks thin, I would say. Like, I mean, I don't know any other thoughts from what you saw, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a really interesting body type. You don't see that at inside linebacker, you know, 6'6", 210 pounds. I was interested to see, like, in terms of his weight, what he kind of looked like. He still looked around 210 pounds. I'm sure they're wanting to try to get that up a little bit more. But yeah, he stands out immediately. You know, when he's coming up the tunnel, it's like, did a basketball player grab the wrong uniform or what's going on here? So he was out there. Looked like he was working kind of on the second unit in terms of the drill hierarchy, which, you know, something I coined. But he moves well for being 6'6", 210 pounds. He's got athleticism. So it was nice. They were doing some of those ball drills where he kind of drop back, pick the ball off and take off. And I was watching him, and he moves well for being 6'6" and being an inside linebacker. Obviously has a lot more surface area to make tackles, so I'm excited to see what those tackling drills will look like when they get the pads on. So, you know, I thought it was a good first day. He definitely catches your eye, and we'll be keeping a closer eye on him as we move forward, you know, as he tries to push for, you know, a rotational spot or maybe even the starting job, trying to take that away from a Raylan Goforth or, you know, kind of push Rajon Davis out of that number two spot. And, you know, Brian Odom said, this is a guy who I'm pretty sure he's going to try to make an impact year one. He didn't come here not to make an impact. You know, he was a freshman All-American last season. He has experience. He wants to make plays, and he's going to push for time on this team.
Yeah. No, it's he's someone I'm just really excited about. He looks so just oozing with potential at Arizona State. So you kind of want to see what he can do. What were you going to say, Shadi?
I think you look at Kalen Bullock and see the weight that USC has put on him since last season, and that gives you maybe a blueprint. Now, just because there's kind of similar body types, obviously it's different positions, so you want to build specific muscles a little bit differently for different positions. And that's one of the things, talking with some of the players, that they mention that they really like about Benny Wiley, because, you know, the strength coaches all, you know, do a good job most of the time, but, you know, I always ask, what's the biggest difference? You know, because most players are not going to say, oh, that strength coach last year was terrible. But one of the things that a lot of people have said when I've asked them about the strength and conditioning program is that we do more sport-specific and position-specific drills that will really help them. It's not just about just getting stronger. It's about getting stronger for their position, whether you're a guy in the trenches, whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a receiver or safety. You know, what's going to make me a better player on the field rather than just making me a stronger player, which getting stronger just in general is a positive for football players. But if you can do it sport position-specific, that makes it even that much better. So I thought that was interesting. And seeing what Kalen Bullock and the weight he's been able to put on, I think that's a positive for what you think that Eric Gentry can eventually put on at USC, and, you know, as he is in this program a little bit longer as well.
Yeah. We had another question. This is a Facebook question. So yeah, we're able to put up Facebook and YouTube questions up on the screen from Brandon, who's been active in the chat. He says, how is Damani Jackson looking? Do you think he has the ability to start at the beginning of the season or take over midway?
Obviously, he's a five-star talent. It was a blow that he wasn't able to get a full spring. He got some spring at the end. You know, they were really limiting him. He mainly did rehab for those first few weeks of camp. And then by the end, you know, him and Josh Jackson, they got their reins taken off a little bit, and they could do some individual drills. You could tell they were really winded at the end. You know, they were sucking down water. They were huffing and puffing. Damani hasn't played football in a minute. you know, just because he kind of missed his senior year with that knee injury, kind of recovering from that. But, you know, I was watching some of the drills and he looked really good. You know, I posted it on our TikTok and most of the comments are about number one looks really good. So you can find that on our TikTok if you follow us at the Peristyle. Quick little plug. I love plugging stuff on this, but you know, he's, you know, 6'1", built physically, does not look like a freshman in those terms. So, you know, I think he's going to have to work a little bit harder just because he is, you know, a little bit rusty from not having played football, didn't really do much in the spring. But I absolutely believe he can be a guy. I don't think it's going to be starting on the season opener, but I would not be shocked if, you know, midway, you know, he's pushing for more time. He's got speed. He's big. He's a 10, like, 3 guy or something like that. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous speed. And that's something Alex Grinch likes. So if he's clicking it and he's putting it on together on the field, you know, Lincoln Riley says he likes to bring freshmen along slower than most. But if he's earning it in practice, you know, I think we could see him definitely even with special teams as well. But I would say more of a midseason potential to come in and maybe take a starting spot as opposed to season opener.
Yeah.
The word that was used to describe him to me was that guy's a freak.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? And they talked about the size, the speed, everything. I said, so what does it take for him to kind of get on the field? And it was basically like he's just got to learn, you know, all the things you would expect a freshman that has to learn.
Yeah.
He's got the athletic ability. He's got the size and the fact that he's back healthy now. Everyone's kind of, you know, he's one of those names that gets whispered about, like, oh, I want to see what he's going to be by the end of the year. I want to see what he's going to be in 2 years type of thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if, like Chris said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting some series early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think back to Iman Marshall or Dory Jackson at that cornerback position where, hey, they got 3-4 series as true freshmen early in the season, maybe 1 or 2, and that slowly grew a little bit and a little bit, and both those guys were starting by the end of their freshman year and being, you know, regular contributors, at least in their rotation. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case for him. But I think the cornerback battle has gotten much more intriguing to me. I mean, from where it was in spring, it was like, okay, Mekhi Blackman's going to start, and then who could it be? I think that battle for the other spot is going to be really interesting because Damani's healthy. You got Covington coming in, Latrell McCutcheon. Those two guys, both Covington and McCutcheon, you go, where are they going to line up? And where are they going to stay at the positions they're starting a fall camp at? Because I had someone else tell me McCutcheon, you know, and Oklahoma fans kind of dogged him when he was, you know, when he transferred to USC, saying that wasn't a big loss for them. And they're like, that dude is a dog in a good, not in the way that the Oklahoma fans were speaking, but that he's out there making plays. Mekhi Blackman obviously was making a lot of plays in the spring before he got hurt. So, you know, I'm really intrigued by that cornerback position. I think Joshua Jackson Jr. is another guy looking to see where he's taking that step forward and what people have said about Sierra Wright, that he's really matured over this offseason. A position that I thought was a big concern, who's going to start outside Blackman, I think now is a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, for sure. And along those lines, Brendan had another question from Facebook. Do you think the defense could surprise the Pac-12, maybe even the nation being better than expected? And I actually talked about this yesterday a little when I did that USC event and, you know, talked to Sean Cody a little bit about it. Just seeing the depth out there from that first practice was impressive. You know, if you're talking to a national media member, like, oh, USC stinks on both, you know, both lines. They don't stink on the offensive line. There's a lot of veteran guys coming back. And I think, you know, a guy like Tulu Tulupilotu can be great. You know, if Brandon Peely can be a contributor, you know, you love what Nick Figueroa brings back and that experience. There's a lot of guys there. It's going to be how well do they just didn't add like the super, superstar like you've added on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison, like these national guys. Shane Lee looks like he can be an absolute stud, you know, and he was a freshman All-American at Alabama, just hadn't done much the last couple of years, but he's looking like he can do stuff now. You know, a guy like Romello Height just looks like oozing with potential. He has an SEC body. He can get off the edge. I mean, I am, Brendan, a little bit more optimistic about how good this defense can be. Remember how bad they were last year, like historically bad in the hundreds of like, you know, points per drive kind of stuff. Like it was really awful, this defense. As the days go by, I'm getting more optimistic that this defense can be, you know, pretty good. I don't know what you guys think.
I mean, if you're just comparing it to last season, yeah, they're going to look amazing compared. I think they're going to be good to slightly above average. And I think for me, I think it just comes down to, are they getting to the quarterback? Because they don't have a lot of proven pass rush ability. You know, they went out and got Solomon Bird, who has 11 and a half career sacks. You know, that's a good start. You have Tuli Tuipulotu, who I think could be a monster, picking up sacks and tackles for a loss. You know, Nick Figueroa, he was banged up. You know, in his breakout season, I believe he led the team in sacks and tackles for a loss. So he's got some ability too. But you throw in Romello Height, you know, who has a ton of potential, but just doesn't have a college career sack. But if he does that, you know, he's beaten up on the Pac-12. You know, he was in the SEC country for his first 2 years at Auburn. So he's seen some things in practice. So if he can, you know, dominate the Pac-12, that's great for this defense. And that's great for the secondary. And that's great for the linebackers. And that's great for the D-line. And if Corey Foreman, you know, the expectations super high on him with this staff in year two, you know, inconsistent last season, you know, didn't get on the field as much as fans wanted him to, probably didn't get on the field as much as he thought he should be. But obviously it was a mess last year. But if he takes that jump, you know, he is a guy who has the potential to be a first-round draft pick. That's the kind of intangibles he has. That's why he was a five-star prospect coming out of high school. That's why he was the number one overall player in his class. So he has the potential to be the best player on this defense, point blank. And if he gets a little bit closer to reaching that ceiling in year two, and I think the defense is going to be okay because they're going to be causing havoc. You know, they don't have a ton of depth on defense, but they have some guys that can really contribute. And if that front can cause pressure, take some pressure off of a young secondary that doesn't have a lot of experience, but a lot of talent. Yeah, I think this team could grow. I think there'll be growing pains, but I think this team could be good to somewhat above average and be among the top in the Pac-12 just because they have a lot of talent. They just need a little more experience across the board.
Yeah.
I think the addition of Romello Height could be the difference maker, because not only do we think he has the, you know, like you said, he's oozing with potential, the big body. He's, you know, been able to get a lot of pressures in his career, but not get the sacks. But I think having him in front of Corey Foreman, and because Romello came in and practiced really well in the spring, so he's starting out fall camp as, you know, the guy in front of Corey Foreman, you push Corey Foreman. And if we see the Foreman that he is capable of being, I think now you have the potential of having two elite pass rushers that you can either rotate. Sometimes you'll get them on the field at the same time. You do some different things like that. And I think that, again, that then creates that havoc in the backfield and can make up for maybe, you know, the depth issues that you may have in the interior of your defensive line, or make up for some, you know, a young secondary that doesn't have a ton of experience outside of Mekhi Blackmon. You know, if you can get to the quarterback, it changes everything, because an offense just can't run their plays with the timing that they want to. So I think that addition could be the game changer for this defense. I think Shane Lee is in a similar boat in a different way, just because the leadership he brings and how everyone is kind of gravitated towards him, and, you know, that no-nonsense type of leader that he is, where he's not going to yell at you and do all this type of stuff, but everyone follows him because, you know, that's the guy on that defense. You know, he's the guy that everyone kind of looks up to as a veteran, a guy who's played in the SEC, a guy who started, was a freshman All-American, all that type of stuff at Alabama. So I think those two guys from two rivals in the SEC could be the difference makers. And then you add in Eric Gentry, you add in Bryson Shaw, some of these other pieces they've added could be really big pickups as well. But those two, I think, can change the dynamic of the defense in a different way, not just with their play itself, but what they do for the rest of the defense. So I think when you add those pieces, and then you see when Kalen Bullock steps on the field this year, you see a guy like that, and that's the steps he's going to be taking from that freshman year to now. Everyone is just raving about him right now. That, you know, you see some of those pieces that take that first or second year, you know, getting some playing time now, take a big jump, and now the defense can be a lot better than it was last year.
Could we get a shotgun rant on Kalen Bullock not even getting honorable mention? I tried to do a Chris Trevino rant on it.
It was okay.
Ultimate disrespect.
You kind of fell
the ultimate though. Disrespect.
You know, it's if it was postseason, I would give it, but it's preseason. It doesn't matter, because in the postseason, he's going to be there on that. Just listen to everyone, as long as he stays healthy, because just the plays that he's making. I asked Mekhi Blackmon, I was like, is there any other safety that you play with that's like him? He's like, he thought about it for a minute, tried to give a real, true, honest answer, and he's like, no, I can't think of anyone.
Yeah.
He's like, the way he goes sideline to sideline, and you hear that about safeties, but, and this is putting way, way high praise on him, but I think he has the eventual potential to at least just sideline to sideline. I don't know about everything else, and the mind portion of it and the studying, but he goes sideline to sideline like Ed Reed was able to go sideline to sideline at Miami. Okay. So that is super high praise, but that's the potential he has. He hasn't really reached that yet, and we haven't seen it, but we've seen glimpses of it, and that's what he could potentially be. Now, he's got to put it all together, because if you ever listen to an interview with Ed Reed, you go, that guy's on a completely different level, what he does on from Monday through Saturday in the NFL, like what he did those to create all the plays that he made. But then the athleticism steps in. If Kalen Bullock can do those things, he has that potential just as an athlete. So...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's not my rant, but that's just giving you what I think.
It just fuels more. It just fuels it more. And I even asked Jordan Addison, like, who's standing out to you on the defensive side of the ball in PRPs? And he, Kalen Bullock.
Okay.
You know, he kind of said some of the things. He's got incredible range. The guy is just an athlete. And he's got that coverage ability. He can get in those windows. He's so long. Obviously, we know that. So he's a freak. You know, obviously, he's still gaining weight, but he looks good. He's added some more armor. He's got some armor on his body, you know, to hold up for a full season. You know, being at that safety position, making all those hits, all those tackles. So... that was a guy who caught Jordan Addison's eye. So that means, you know, it's real.
That's something.
One more piece of praise for Kalen Bullock. I was talking to Malcolm Epps. And I was like, what's it like going against him, one-on-one, seeing him in the middle of the field type of thing? And he's like, that dude's almost as big as me. And like Malcolm Epps is 6'6", and just said he's running 21 miles an hour, which is absurd. Is really, really fast. Or 22 miles an hour, I believe it was. Or almost 22. I believe there's one player on the team, if what other players have said, that's running 23. Caleb Williams said that he believes Jordan Addison was running 23.
Yeah, I think Addison was or something. Yeah.
Jalen Smith is actually in the 22 club, and he told me he thinks he's third fastest on the team as far as their mile per hours. Now, this is not their 40 times. But this is the data they receive from the catapult systems and stuff.
I think Raylake's up there too, probably.
And so if you have a tight end that's 6'6", and can move that way, which Malcolm Epps could have a giant breakout season if used in some different ways than he was last year. He says going up against Kalen Bullock, he's like, we go at it. And he said, we count each rep, and then there's a lot of trash talking back and forth, he said, when one of them does win a rep definitively. But he, like, I asked him about him, and he's just like, that guy, it's unbelievable that he's 6'4", and he can run like he does. So Kalen Bullock is getting a lot of praise from people, and just hope he stays healthy this year so everyone gets to see it on Saturdays.
Yeah. CJ, you're getting a lot of screen time. I put your comment up or your question up, like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago when we kept going off on the Kalen Bullock. But you guys had mentioned Corey Foreman, so I wanted to put CJ's question up. Are they trying to use Corey Foreman in space or just at rush end? We don't want a Sua Cravens, Drake Jackson, quote, out of place position situation again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much they're going to do with that. Obviously, we have to see it a little more, you know, in games and stuff. But that rush end position does have some coverage responsibilities. So will that be more of a Romello Height, who I feel like his body type fits more of that outside linebacker kind of role? I believe he was rated as an outside linebacker kind of role. He's a little bit skinnier in the hips than Corey Foreman. I feel like Corey Foreman is more, in terms of the hybridness, I feel like Corey Foreman is more defensive end than outside linebacker. Romello Height is more outside linebacker, defensive end. So that might be more of a responsibility for Romello Height to do in certain packages. And, you know, I feel like if you want to get them both at the same time, you could put Corey at the defensive end spot and let Romello handle that rush end spot. If you're trying to get creative, maybe he's the one who drops in coverage while Corey's rushing, or you mix it up a couple times because, you know, you don't want it to be a tell for your defense moving forward. But I would say probably Romello has a better coverage ability than a Corey. Yeah. But again, that's something we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But that position does have some coverage responsibilities.
Yeah, there's some space there. It's not just, you know. Mr. FL, prediction on Solomon Tuilalapupu, and the amount of playing time he gets this season. What do you guys think?
I'm leaving this one to you, Chris, because I got to see him out there and play in a game first. He's played one snap in his career. I'm not going off.
Special teams. The pair style wants him.
I don't care.
The pair style wants
him.
That's
why I'll leave it to Chris.
You think he's going to play much?
I think he's going to play. I think he's earned the right to play. And if you listen to Sean Nua talk about him, I think he's certainly earned the right to play. And that's going to be like, it's going to be like Rudy, even though Rudy was not real in a sense. This is going to be because Sholo's the opposite of Rudy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he's an actual football player and he can actually do things on the field. Well, I'm probably triggering a lot of people and I love it.
I might be.
But I think Solo has certainly earned the right, and I think when he does get on the field, and he will get on the field, and he makes a play, the Coliseum might explode. You know, it might blow up.
So I asked Sean Nua what was his reaction going to be,
metaphorically speaking,
to what you know, the first time that Solo makes a big play, and he said, "I might run out in the field and get a 15-yard flag. It's like I might go out and celebrate with him."
That's his position coach. Field.
Yeah, his position coach. And I asked somebody else, and they were just like, "It's going to be so amazing." So you know, everyone is rooting for him. Same with Max Williams; those two guys that have struggled through injuries in their career. Everyone wants to see them do well. They're both such hard workers. But for me, I got to wait and see him on the field a little bit more before I can.
It's okay, you can come talk to me. I'm gonna dive in. I'm gonna give you everything you want to hear about it. I'm not gonna peg him a starter. But, you know, I watched Solo after Friday's practice staying behind to work with Tuli Tuipulotu. They were getting one-on-one time together. And that tells me that's a guy who, you know, I'm number one, wants to get better, working with the best defensive lineman on the team. And obviously that's a duo I would never want to fight in a bar.
No, you don't want to do that.
Like, never. If they hit on my girlfriend, I'm walking out. I'm out of there. But that tells me that, you know, Solo's serious about the season, and I've never doubted he wasn't serious about the season, but that tells me, like, oh, Solo's going to do some stuff this year, and I think he's going to be on that rotation. I think it'll be, you know, when guys need breathers, you know, he's going to be able to come in, give a couple snaps, a couple series. I don't think it'll be garbage time. I think he'll play some, you know, significant, you know, second quarter, early third quarter, stuff like that.
Rotational.
Rotational. I think he's going to be on the two deep in terms of that rotation. And, you know, I think he can move up to maybe being a direct backup at some point, depending on how things shake out. But he's doing really well. I think that's what's important. He's healthy right now. He's working with that D-line. He looks bigger. He's always mean, but he's always, you know, no, he's really nice off the field, but he's mean on the field. And I think he's doing everything he needs to do to play this season.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because one of the things – because we're only being allowed to see 15, 20 minutes, is, you know, what does he actually look like? This is a new position. This isn't where we've ever seen him in high school, even when, you know, he was dominating as a linebacker at modern day. Like, this is not what we've seen before. So that's one of the reasons why I'm more hesitant. But seeing the fact that he's, you know, been in the two deep during the spring and been a part of that rotation. I think he can be that, but I want to see it on the field first. So that he's one of the guys I definitely, when he comes on the field, one, I think people are going to be excited about that on a Saturday, just seeing that number come out there. But two, I want to see, you know, I will be keeping an eye when I do see him come on. You know, similar when Max Gibbs came in last year, it's like, okay, well, I got to get photos of Max Gibbs playing nose tackle, and let me see what he can actually do. So that's someone with Solomon, just because, one, we're not seeing those things in practice. We don't get to see any true actual competition periods that I will definitely be keeping an eye on September 3rd.
Well, remember, we did get to see a little bit of in scout team last season. We did get to see, obviously, but scout team is different. But, you know, there were times when he was the most fun thing to watch on the field at times, because we're watching right over. And he was in their ass sometimes. Yeah. He was giving them fits. So much so that I heard that the last staff told him to tone it down because they didn't like that.
Yeah.
Which, like,
because it was basically, yeah, you're basically scout team stuff, and you're trying to, like, run the offense, and he's...
That's what your scout team should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be trying to beat somebody every single time. Trying to take somebody's position.
That's what you want. You want your scout team guys not giving an F and coming for starting spots, because they want to get off scout team. They want to make plays.
Yeah.
But there is the balance. There's always the balance, because you don't want a starter being injured at the same time.
Yeah.
Sure, but... if you stop him then.
We're going to get some more questions. There's one thing I forgot to mention from Media Day. Talking to Josh Henson, the offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, and he had something interesting to say, get your thoughts on this. He said when he was at Missouri, they had a similar situation. So Gary Pinkel's the head coach. Gary Pinkel was a guy that likes to rotate offensive linemen, not, you know, fully rotate, but bring in guys for a couple of series, you know, and USC's been notoriously bad at playing guys that weren't the starters. They weren't, you know, they don't get in leads. They haven't been good at getting backup quarterbacks in, or just so guys, unless they're starting, they're not really getting the experience. He said they had a really veteran group that was the starting five, and then they had three guys that they liked to bring in, and they would bring them in for a series, you know, a couple series here and there throughout the game, and then over the season they end up getting a couple hundred snaps each. All three of those backup offensive linemen are playing the NFL now. So, I mean, it worked out for them, and they were talented young players, and they got some opportunities there. And he kind of hinted at the fact that this was something that they could potentially do at USC. You got those veteran guys, the Brett Nealons and Andrew Voorhees and Justin Dietiches and stuff. There's a bunch of veterans, but you also have some young guys that might be getting mixed in. If it's Cortland Ford or Jonah Monheim, wherever they're kind of, you know, bringing these guys in, it'll be interesting to see if they use like a 7 or 8 man rotation where here's your starting five, but first series of the second quarter, these three guys are coming in, or the two guys are coming in, and they get some opportunities. So I thought that would work out pretty well, and it would be something that kind of, especially next year when you lose all that veteran leadership. You're going to have to build off some of these young guys in the recruiting class. If they never play, that's not going to help them. So I thought that was a kind of an interesting tidbit from Josh Henson.
So we've seen this before at USC. You know, we've seen Chuma Adoga get some opportunities as a freshman. We've seen even Marcus Martin starting as a true freshman a while back. But in last year, the young guys won those jobs out of camp. So instead of Jalen McKenzie or Justin Dietich being on there, you had two second year freshman offensive tackles. And then as the season progressed, the line morphed into what it became at the very end when Cortland Ford got hurt and then ended up getting mono. Jonah Monheim had some ups and downs. So, seeing those guys, those two young guys really got opportunity. The problem right now with USC is, do you trust number 7 and number 8 to want to put them in there for those few series? And, who's going to be that? And I asked that question to Cortland Ford. I said, hey, we know who number 1 through 6 is. We know that those three interior guys are going to be there, those three veterans. Justin Dietich has really established himself after talking with a couple different guys, talked about how he's, just taking his game to another level. So Andrew Voorhees, Justin Dietich, Brett Nealon are going to be in there. Now you have three guys battling for those two tackle spots with Bobby Haskins coming in and joining the mix with Cortland Ford and Jonah Monheim. The question is, who's number 7? Who could be that number 8? And so that's going to be the thing, because they've had such struggles with their offensive line recruiting, is who can step up. Now, one name that Cortland Ford gave me, or the two names that he gave me, were Mason Murphy as a tackle and maybe even some guard, And then Gino Quinones as, you know, the backup guard. So, you know, we'll see if those end up being the guys. And maybe they do. They've proven themselves enough in practice where they get in some rotation. But that's a big question mark for me is, do they trust 7 and 8 to be able to run them out there for a couple series a game to give them that experience? I think Mason Murphy's a guy you really want to try to give that experience to, because even, you know, one, he was hurt last year, so he didn't get to practice all season. But he's also a super young football player, you know, a green football player, I guess is the right word. He didn't play a ton, you know, in high school. You know, I think he started his sophomore year, if I want to remember correctly, maybe his freshman year, but he didn't play, you know, youth football growing up and stuff. So, you know, he's a guy that you want to get those extra reps. And I think he's a guy that has a bunch of potential. So maybe he can be number seven. We'll have to see, you know, once the season rolls around.
Yeah.
And he didn't get a full true freshman season because he did have that ankle injury and surgery. So he was a little bit behind. But yeah, everyone's really high on Mason Murphy and thinks he's going to be a guy out there at tackle. So that would be like priority number one in terms of getting that guy some playing time this season in blowouts, or, you know, a couple series here and there, whatever that may be, right tackle, left tackle, interior, get him some guard work because they need depth there. So yeah, get Mason on the field in some capacity.
Yeah. Here's a question from Gary. Any chance USC could still get a late acquisition for a punter in 2022? So if you didn't know, Atticus Bertram, we know he's not going to be attending USC. Do we know he really ever existed? We do not know. Never saw really anything from him. He was part of this class, very small class, and he's not coming. There was a commit, like USC got a commitment, right? But I didn't know. I didn't really pay enough attention, Chris. Is it a 2022 guy, 23 guy? Do we know? These kickers are like mystery men.
Are you talking about Garth White?
No. They picked up another Australian punter.
Oh, I got you, yeah.
But I do not know. He's got an interesting name. I thought it was a fake name, to be honest with you. It's an interesting name. I don't know it off the top of my head. But I don't know what class he's in. I'm still trying to figure that out, what class he's in. So potentially this could be the guy. But yeah, you know, Lincoln has alluded multiple times to they have a plan, or they have something in place to try to help out the punting situation. So yeah, I would assume that there would be a punting addition at some point, whether it's this this new commit or maybe something like an older player out of the portal.
Yeah, Riley said as much. He didn't give us what his plan was, but he said there's a plan. Who's the walk-on punter that's been getting the work?
Will Rose.
Will Rose, yeah.
A former like wide receiver at St. John Bosco.
Oh, nice. And Chris Trevino has some eligibility, so he might jump in there. We'll see.
Shaka, what do you think?
No, thanks.
You know what? Okay, David had a question. Do you believe that we will see blowouts this season to see Miller Moss play? Excited to see him play in Lincoln Riley's offense. Yes.
You'll get one week one.
There will be blowouts.
I'm guaranteeing one week
one. There's not going to be these situations where you're like, oh, you hope to see this kid play. He doesn't get a chance, you know, because USC's not blowing anybody out. They're going to blow some people out.
Would you bet your life that they blow? My life.
I would not bet anyone's life.
My life.
Yeah.
My life?
I don't bet lives. No, but it's going to be a blowout, and not like Western Michigan where USC pulled away in the fourth quarter, or Arkansas. I mean, I think it would be more like Arkansas State under Steve Sarkisian, where true blowout, you get a bunch of freshmen in there. Some of them make some plays in the fourth quarter, and you go, ooh, that guy could be really good.
Yeah.
You know, that poor Augustine guy, he's not so bad. Maybe they should get him on the field.
Yeah.
You know, those type of things. I think you'll see that against Rice at least, and then, you know, I think this offense just has the chance to be so explosive with the playmakers that they've added, you know, even from the spring when you had Jordan Addison, you had Relique Brown in there. Like, those are dynamic players that can churn a wide receiver screen, or, you know, a quick game throw, a quick hitch into 7 points, 80 yards down the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can make people miss themselves even if, you know, you don't have the best blocking or something. So when you add those type of players, that just gives you that much more potential. You don't have to work so hard for everything. And that was unfortunately, that was the real issue with the offense last year, is they weren't getting those explosive plays that they had gotten with Michael Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and those guys. And even with some of those guys, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Vaughns, like, they were getting some explosive plays but weren't getting them for seven, and then USC would struggle in the red zone. So I think a couple of those players they've added this offseason have that potential that no one's catching them from behind, and, you know, and they can make a guy miss and take it to the house, and, you know, and that just gives you so much energy when one of those plays does happen too.
It does. We had a question from John on YouTube. What's the biggest difference from practices now versus practices in the past. I mean, Shaka kind of mentioned something earlier, just the crispness between...
Snappiness?
Yeah. You remember the Pete Carroll days, or you guys don't, but I remember, I mean, there wasn't a lot of conditioning going on. It was sort of like you were running from drill to drill. They were moving. There was never a time where you weren't, the whole team wasn't sitting around watching the punter go. Like, if this was, you know, you're always going from spot to spot. And I'm getting a more of a sense of that now where you feel like there's
not a lot of wasted.
A better tempo. Yeah, there's not as much wasted time. I don't know. Any other thoughts you guys have?
I think there's more position battles, which I think leads itself to greater competition, more fire, more all that stuff. And maybe that's just because there's so many new faces and we don't know exactly what they can do. Whereas in the past it was established, hey, there's an older guy. He's already been a starter, or he's, you know, the guy to step up. But I think at least for this fall camp, with so many new faces and so many unknowns with a new offense, new defense, I feel like there's going to be more position battles going in where you just don't know, and even not just first string, but second string too, you know, who's going to be that backup for a lot of positions. So I think that just lends itself to more competition, more fire, and more energy.
Yeah, it lends into the culture of like whoever's playing the best is going to start. You know, it's not what you did last year, or what your ranking is, or so, you know, which is some of those things we kind of felt with past teams. This is, if you're starting, you earned it. You beat out everyone. It doesn't matter if you were a walk-on or a five-star or a three-star or whatever, a transfer. If you're beating everyone in practice, you're going to start. And that lends itself to the competition. It's like anyone can start on this team. And that seems to be, you know, one of the main components of this culture.
Yeah.
And the punter's name was Aiden Sleep Dalton, Gary Lewis said. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah. And I think he's 23, they were saying in the chat. So he's
we have to see if that's true.
Okay.
We're still working. I guess Chris is working on that. Because it was Aussies, you never know. They could be...
I'm hitting up the punter underworld.
Like, nice.
I mean...
The punter
depending
underworld.
Depending on their age, they may be eligible sooner rather than later. Like,
true, yeah.
Like, could be a 40-year-old man. I don't know.
Yeah, like we're not really sure. Yeah. We didn't talk a lot of recruiting today because it's fall camp starting.
Oh, that's right.
But that's okay. Larry on Facebook says, what's going on with the Malachi Nelson recruitment? Seems like there's a lot of smoke for decommitting. What are you going to say to Larry, Chris?
I would say listen to the latest Composite 2-Star Recruit podcast. That's what I would say. That's what
plug.
I would say. We literally did like a whole hour on it.
Yeah.
A whole hour. Did you want a quick answer? No, you got to go get Gerard's full hour.
I mean, a quick answer, I would say it's
definitely... full hour.
I would say...
Full hour.
I would say something to keep an eye on. You know, obviously we talk about in recruiting, it's not what you say, it's what you do. Your actions speak much louder. Like if you tell people, I'm not taking visits, and you go and take visits. I'm not saying that's what Malachi did, but I'm saying if that's what you say on record and you put it out there and you go and take visits, what does that say? I agree that the optics are kind of blah, because, you know, he is the leader of a class that USC is building. And obviously in this day and age, NIL runs a lot of stuff. And obviously Texas A&M, one of the bigger names in the collective NIL spaces. So that's always something you're going to have to look at, because obviously on paper, you look at it, Lincoln Riley, USC, Malachi Nelson, quarterback, SoCal, it all just fits, you know. But we talk about this on the Composite 2-Star Recruits, always going to plug it, but you can't really think logically in the age of NIL, because the money and these deals and stuff, they sway a lot of things. So
it can be ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you just got to keep monitoring it. You know, I think if USC handles what they need to do on the field, I think Malachi will be fine and this class will be fine, intact or whatever, but it's definitely something to watch.
Yeah.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. You can't just be like, oh, it's just a visit.
He's definitely one of those guys that can get his own deals like a Caleb Williams, and he'll, you know, without having some collective just drop a pile of money on, you know, his doorstep, I think he can get a lot of money. He can take advantage of being in LA and being at USC.
But definitely check out that Composite 2-Star Recruit, because we do a really, you know, sometimes it goes off a little bit on a tangent.
Yeah.
That's what Gerard does. But we give you a lot of insight and context to NIL, and then, you know, directly like what it means for USC and Malachi Nelson.
Which is why it's a great time to sign up at uscfootball.com.
Yeah, go sign up.
And that podcast is free, by the way.
Free podcast, but 50% off your annual membership. Just go do it. You want to smash that like button wherever you are. You want to subscribe. Just go over to uscfootball.com, VIP membership. And if you don't want to do the annual thing, which is great, obviously half off, you can sign up for a month for $1. So just go do it. It's absolutely insane right now. The site's been growing and growing. Tons of content going up. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think you'll love it. Go to the Peristyle. You can be chatting with USC fans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's absolutely crazy. They'll say some insane things, and you're going to be like wanting to punch your keyboard. Like, how can you say that? But that's what we do, and we all love it. Roman wants to know, is Max Williams healthy?
Yes.
Yeah, he looks good out there. I mean, he looked good when he was like working out.
Comeback player of the year.
Book yeah, it. I think.
Ooh, Solo fans are not going to be happy.
Ooh. Can Solo come back? Like, I don't know. Was it? He never was there, right? Like, that. They're really not going to like that. I guess Max Williams wasn't really there either. Now, he's done some stuff, but he's one of the dudes I'm high on. Just, you don't, if he goes to the NFL combine, you're not going to be blown away. He's just a guy that plays football. He plays football. And you need guys like that. And so I think he's going to be someone that you'll just be like, oh, wow, Max Williams made a play. You're like, yeah, that's what he does.
Do we have any questions? Because we...
Time for rapid fire.
But we literally had a commitment on Saturday.
Braylon Shelby.
Oh, yeah.
We literally... Ryan, do better.
Friendswood, Texas.
This is more about the team stuff than like...
Picked USC Texas.
Yeah, give a quick thing on that. We're gonna probably wrap this up here in a couple minutes, but what...
But we literally had a commitment. That's a big thing.
So tell... I don't have my breaking news thing up. Tell us about the commitment.
Yeah, USC got a commitment from Braylon Shelby... 6'4.5", 235-pound edge rusher out of Friendswood, Texas. Beat out Texas Longhorns. They were his final two, USC and Texas. Consensus four-star prospect. He has just had a massive rise over the last several months of spring and summer in rankings and also on recruiting boards across the country with colleges. And, you know, Texas A&M offered him, Florida offered him, you know, a bunch of programs wanted this kid. And he's a consensus four-star recruit. I believe number 133 in the composite, number 156 for us. He went from unranked to 156 in our latest top 247 update. And this is a big pickup. This is the fourth commitment for USC in the last 20 days. They are on a little bit of a roll now, picking up some steam. You know, they had that July 4th where nothing went their way. Francis Maoyoga chose Miami. A bunch of other guys they were running for went other places. Lucas Simmons a couple days after went to Florida State. So it wasn't a great start to July, but USC is now churning along here with four commitments last 20 days. And they're coming from all over. You know, Taka Curtis, Louisiana. Micah Banuelos, Washington. Malachi Crawford, California. And now Braylon Shelby out of Texas. So USC is going across country getting these kids. Move up to number 12 in the nation. Huge pickup just because a defensive front player, which is where they need to restock. Pair him with Taka Curtis, and you need some defensive linemen. But to get linebackers and edge rushers like this, very good pickup.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up here in a few minutes. But Chaka, you want to go through some rapid-fire ones?
Rapid-fire. Roman, question. Prediction starting D-line, and does Pelee look healthy? Everything we've heard, Pelee is healthy. Starting D-line predictions. I mean, we all think that Tulu Pelotu is going to be there. Depending if you're counting the edge, you're going to have either Romello Height or Corey Foreman. They could basically be co-starters, I think. You know, I think that's eventually going to be the case. But who are the two other spots, potentially, along with Tulu Pelotu on that line?
So Nick Figueroa, I would say there.
Nick, yeah. And Stanley Tauafu, a.k.a. the Tongan Terror. He's operating as the one. Did so in spring. Looked like the guy in the brief time I got to see defensive team drills or, you know, the pursuit drills. He was the first guy out in the middle of that defense. So the Tongan Terror holding it down.
Yep.
I still think that Brandon Pelee needs to step up and be a dude and take over that starting spot. He's a fifth-year guy or sixth-year guy, I believe, even now. So I think he's the guy that needs to step up. Fifth or sixth, I can't remember.
Yeah, I asked Sean New about him. And, you know, I think it was either – I can't remember if it was Alex Grinch or Sean New. I may have been Grinch. And, you know, there were some guys you talk about coming back. He was like, hey, he's got to be available, you know. And I think he seemed a little upset that he wasn't fully available enough in the spring. So I don't know. We'll see. But it seemed a little cautious on like, yep, he's got to go out there and prove it, though. So we'll try to watch and see what he does this fall.
Gordon asked or said, Courtland Ford looks huge compared to when he first got here. Shanks then questioned, how does Courtland Ford look?
Courtland Ford looks great. I mean, he's always looked physically impressive, but he looks, you know, built. And I even joked with him. He was like, because I asked him about Wiley. He said, man, they're doing a great job. I just feel so much better in terms of my body. I feel like the best shape of my life. And I was like, I feel like a unit. And I was like, man, you were a unit when you came in. He was like, no, I thought I was a unit when I came in. So I thought that was good. So he definitely, I guess this offseason has really opened his eyes. And yeah, he looks great. I mean, he's always been an eye catcher. He looked like an NFL dude when he walked on campus, but he just looks further. You know, he's a little bit sleeker, more powerful up top. He's got that athleticism. I know that's something he was excited about in spring in terms of pulling with this offense. So I think he's going to knock some dudes over this year.
Nice.
Roman asks, does Sierra Wright have a legit chance to start? I think that second cornerback spot's just up in the air right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's any reason from what we saw of him as a high school player that he doesn't have the potential to take over that spot. So we'll see.
He was operating as the one opposite of Makai in team pursuit drills. So looks like he's holding down from the spring because that's where he ended last year or last spring.
Yeah.
John, which group on the defense looks the best so far?
I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, like we get to watch some position drills. Like,
yeah,
that's
we
it.
Don't get to see the full.
I'll make a little adjustment. Which group on the defense do you have the most confidence in?
Oh,
that's
would
a good question.
Say D-line, because I think they have the most experience.
Interesting. That's the part that I would have the most concern with.
I kind of like the safeties. I think I would maybe go there.
I think that's a good call. You know, if you're separating the safeties by themselves, or even if you're adding that nickel back and adding Max Williams, I think the safeties.
Yeah.
Lance, that's not a good question.
Wow, just putting Lance on blast there.
This was an interesting one. Hot Ninja said, Miller Moss and the majority of the wide receivers are too talented to be second string. How do we play all this talent and keep them on the team for next season? Now, of course, we think that there's going to be more opportunities for the backups to play, but that's still a good question because when you acquire as much talent as USC has, everyone's not going to get to play as much as they want.
Right. Lincoln Riley did talk about playing like 10 wide receivers, and they only got like 11, right? So that would be most everybody playing.
But even then, you might have some starters that might be upset that they're not playing as much as they think they should. So how do you kind of keep everyone happy here?
Keep scoring.
Keep winning, I think is the best answer there.
You win, it doesn't matter.
Most of the time. Because I think Gerard pointed this out on a podcast recently, and he said, you know, when everybody's winning, everyone's okay to take a little less.
Right.
But then when you're losing, you go, well, if I was out there, we'd be winning. Mm-hmm. Everyone, your high-end recruits all think that, and that's the same thing with the guys that are coming in as freshmen or high school seniors saying they commit to a team that's struggling, but like, well, when I get there, it'll be different.
Yeah.
So I think that's something. Mr. FL said, deepest position on both sides of the ball.
Wide out?
Definitely.
Yeah, I would say the wide out. I asked Josh Henson about that, and he's just on the offensive side, he said wide outs, and I think they would be deeper than everybody else.
I would say safeties.
Saves pretty deep, too.
We had a couple questions. Does Josh Fallow finally break out this year? Is he just a depth piece? Is Josh Fallow looking like a problem out there on the field early this fall?
He had a one-handed catch they put on social media.
He had one of those dominated in spring, too. So, yeah, it looks great, but you still got to, you know.
I asked a couple questions about him with Zach Hansen. Ryan, what kind of stood out to you from what Hansen said about Josh Fallow?
I don't remember what he said about Josh.
Okay. At least he's honest, folks.
Okay. I'm trying to think of like what he said.
One of the things he said is, I need to see him in pads.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he's talked about that with, I believe, Ethan Ray as well and Lake McCree because he was hurt in the spring. He's like, I need to see these guys in pads before I can, you know, anoint that they'll be able to do anything. One of the things that I really thought was interesting that Zach Hansen says is he tells his group basically every day is like, we got to bust our butts to be, you know, to be a group that can add something to the offense. And if you look at that wide receiver group, you know, like if the tight ends aren't doing something, I'm putting four or five wide receivers on the field and leaving that tight end off, you know, unless it's third and one or whatever. So, you know, I think that was very interesting that he, you know, is verbalizing that with his group that we need to provide some, you know, a different asset for the offense.
Yeah. We literally talked to guys for 3.5 hours straight, so it's hard to remember everything everybody said. So my apologies, but
Ryan probably zoned out when I was asking him. He's like, all right, yeah, he's going to remember this part. Roman, is Kyle Ford going to get good playing time this year?
I think so. I do. I like, especially he's a bigger body. He talked about blocking. I think that's going to be an important part of what they do. You know, because they do like to run the football. They want to be able to block downfield to break bigger plays. He seemed really excited last time I talked to him about that. So, yeah.
And he had a big play in the spring game. So,
yeah.
He's got some momentum.
David, who are you looking to have a breakout this year on both offense and defense? That's an interesting question as well. You know, there's a lot of guys that we think can do some stuff, but who's going to break out? And I'm going to take away Kalen Bullock because sure. I think we all agree that he's going to have a.
Well, he's not even honorable mention. I don't think that counts as. Someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think a Kyle Ford has an opportunity to be a breakout guy. I mean, there's a bunch of receivers I think that have because you know you have Mario Williams, you have Jordan Addison. Like, I mean, you assume those guys are going to play a lot, but some of the guys that were sort of like left over, you know, one of them. I don't know. Who else do you think?
I don't know if Mario Williams is officially broken out. Maybe he already has, but just hearing some of the other players talk about him sounds like he's
breakout on a national sense.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already getting some national love, but yeah.
I think Brennan Rice does things. Again, you know, a ton of receivers.
His body, like he can block, you know, he'll make some blocking plays.
He was playing an offense that couldn't throw the ball, so
exactly.
It's an easy pick.
Exactly.
And I mean, for defense, I would probably sell Romello. Because obviously he's a guy who hasn't done too much in his two years. And, you know, I think he's a guy who can lead this team in sacks and, you know, be at the top of the Pac-12 if, you know, he puts it all together. So yeah. I would say Romello.
Let's do like one or two more and we'll get out of here.
I got one or two more.
Perfect.
John, who is the third string quarterback? That would be Jake Jensen. He is a BYU bounce back. If you don't know what a bounce back is, that means they start at a Power 5 school, they go to a junior college, and then they bounce back to another Power 5 school. Or not necessarily Power 5, but Division 1 school.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that's talented enough to be at a Division 1 school coming out of high school, decided to go JUCO so he can get some playing time, and has come back. Probably the most notable one of those type of guys of recent is Stetson Bennett at Georgia. You know, he had to go to JUCO to be able to get some playing time and came back. Another one from a little bit farther back, Cam Newton, did the same thing.
Yeah.
But his was off-the-field issue. And then David had a question. Do you believe the O-line will be better than last year, especially with this new system?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the O-line was pretty good last year, too. I think people give it a knock, but they got significantly better from 2020 to 2021. They brought in Clay McGuire. I thought he did a good job. They were better on short yardage. A lot of the guys graded out better. But, yeah, I think the offensive line will be better. But don't look at last year as like the offensive line was terrible. The team was terrible, but the offensive line was actually better than it was the year before.
We'll see. I mean, they're one injury away from being in serious trouble, I think. We'll see where Mason Murphy and Gino Quinones and that next group are for that. Alex, the final question here. Alex said, would it make sense for USC to build a mini campus in Indiana close to Chicago Midway within 2 to 4 hours of most Big Ten schools? This could cut travel time. USC could rent it to UCLA as well, talking about when USC moves to the Big Ten in 2024.
I don't hate it.
Ryan, you laughed, but I don't think it's a terrible idea, to be honest.
I mean, you don't need a campus. You can do remote learning everywhere. So I don't know if you need a mini campus.
Yeah, but I mean,
get some housing there where they can come in and out. You can just have it as a study home base. You know you're going to have a season. You can just or a long season, you know, traveling, just house those guys there, do the remote work.
Yeah, if you're going if you think you're going to have at least one time where you're staying over, you know, you have back-to-back weeks, you know, it's not, I don't think it's a terrible idea.
I don't hate it.
All right. If you're there for like a week and you're the football team, there's like a weight room and all this stuff. Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, the so you field. Can kind of do your, yeah, practice field.
Look, you're already on it.
I'm coming around. Mini campus.
If it's a long-term investment, you know, and you can potentially rent it out to, you know, UCLA, but you can rent it out to other, you know, programs that come through when you're not using it. Could be useful.
People could stay at the USC hotel, student, like fans. Yeah. You can stay there, rent it out, make some coin.
Yeah. Can you keep it USC? You have to do something like University, like South Columbus or something. Or just put it like near, you know, put it near Ohio State. Yeah, put it in Columbus somewhere, South Columbus. You go for
put it next door to Notre Dame.
Next,
except like, much more accessible.
They would haze it all the time.
Awesome. All right. Well, everyone, hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Great to see Shotgun here. Hopefully, you know, don't headbutt any more helmets or anything, Shoddy. And
try to get it fixed.
Yeah, get that all fixed up. Thanks for being here in studio. It's great to see you. We'll see you for games and stuff too. And we'd love to see you back, Chris Trevino.
Back in September for the. My next show in studio, I believe, will be the Thursday, as long as flights go well, the Thursday leading into the Rice game.
Nice. Yeah, we'll do, when the season gets started, we'll do like a Thursday show to preview, and we'll do a Sunday night show again to recap what's been going on. So Shoddy should be in person for a bunch of them. That'll be kind of nice. And then Chris Torino, we'll see you on Tuesday. We'll do our podcast. You'll sleep it. Yeah, me too. But thank you everyone for tuning in. We had a whole bunch of people watching live. And if you're watching, on the replay on any of the platforms. We appreciate that. And if you're listening to the podcast version of the show we put up later, we appreciate that as well. Make sure you get over to USCFootball.com. Subscribe, 50% off. Best deal you can get. It's definitely going to be worth it. You're going to love it. If you're watching to the end of the show, you should be, and you're not a subscriber, jump in there and do it. You can do it for as little as a dollar. So we appreciate that. And I appreciate all you out there listening, watching. It's great. And the interaction on the chat box has been a lot of fun too. So we'll keep doing that. We'll start taking live calls here coming up soon. And those are always fun too. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we will talk to you next time.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.